Do you know why I worship God? It's not because I'm commanded to. It's not because it's a facet of religion or it's a rite of some denomination that I belong to and therefore I have to do it to fit in its creed. No. Do you know why I worship God? It's not because some egotistical creator desires my worship and needs it to be more of a God, because he doesn't. It's not because by doing so I feel much better and my blood pressure is lowered even. No. Do you know why I worship God? Because it is a reaction of the creature before its creator, of the son before his father, of a prince before his king. It is because when I study him and see that he transcends time and space, that he is sovereign over this country come what may, that he is in absolute control of my life, I then fall down and worship him. Do you know why I worship God? It is for the same reason that the seraphim do, according to Isaiah chapter 6, where they had to cover their faces because of so much glory. And day and night, even now as I speak, they worship him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Do you know why they worship him? It is their reaction after standing in the presence of the living God. So when I seek this same God in all earnestness and read that according to Psalms 19, the heavens declare his glory, and when I read that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, as it's stated in Psalms 139, and that I was put in this space and time to know and experience this awesome God, my reaction before all this is to worship him. Do you know why I worship God? It is because I learned a while back that even though I deserved his justice, living in my sins, yet he extended his merciful hand out to me and drew me close to him through his son Jesus Christ. When I remember this, my reaction is to fall flat on the pierced feet of him who died so that I could have life. I worship God because of who he is and all the things he has done. Have you worshiped God today?
Let me ask you, personally, have you worshiped God today? We're coming into our Thanksgiving week. We're still in our series entitled Prayer, and so I come to you this morning asking, under the umbrella of Thanksgiving, in the spirit of prayer, have you worshiped God today? Let me share with you what God's word says in Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. God's word says this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." I ask you, is that the spirit of your heart? Are you there? Do you hear this as an option or an instruction? You see, I want you to see this morning that we're here to draw closer to the Lord, to enhance our relationships with him. And a core component of that is having a heart of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. He goes on here in verse 3, says, "Know that the Lord is God." We can give thanks knowing that the Lord is God. Last week we saw we don't have to bow to any pinatas. We give thanks that our God is God, capital G. It is he who made us, and we are his. We give thanks for the fact that we are adopted children of God. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." If you know him, you will praise him. If you don't praise him, I promise you, you don't know him. If you're not caught up in worship, you don't know the King of Kings. To know him is to be in awe of him. To know who you are in him is to praise and to give thanks, not with just your lips, but with your lives. Verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. There's no divorce in the family of God. As children of God, we're never left on the road. We're never orphaned. We have a promise that says we are his forever, and no one and nothing can take us away. If ever there were something to give thanks for. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is never going away, friends. I come to you this morning talking about prayer and the need for thankfulness in it. I'm going to walk you through some of God's word where you're going to see that he brings this to our attention over and over and over again. I bring it to our attention for two reasons. As a body of believers who have been called to be people of prayer, you need to understand how to pray effectively. You'll see before we're done this morning that if you're not praying with thankfulness, with thanksgiving, there is a key component of your prayers that is missing. I've told you that I've been working through a book by R.A. Torrey, and he says it this way. He's very blunt. I kind of like him. He says, one of the main reasons why our prayers tend not to have power, why our prayers are not being answered in ways that we can see them, is because we have a shallow, empty sense of thanklessness. He said, how quick are we to run back to give thanks for those prayers that are answered when you compare that to how quickly we run to him with our requests? A people that will take, that will ask, give, 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 and never come back to say thank you, will soon find that there is nobody on the other end of their prayers. A thankless heart is not a powerful praying heart. And we tend to say, well, no, I'm not an ingrate. I'm thankful. Think for a minute with me. How much do each one of us have to be thankful for right now? Right this second. How much do we have to be thankful for right now? And how much of that pool have you thanked God for this morning? This week? This month? We tend to lose our perspective. As a people, we get please and thank you backwards. The please ought to be to come and say, Lord, please use me. Lord, please let me be your servant. We tend to come and say, please give me. According to God's economy, we ought to go and say, God, please use me. And our thanks are not just for those things that come in that meet our desires. But the thanks are for using me. Thank you for using me, Lord. We miss that because at our core, we tend to be selfish. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. Actually, I am. I'm pointing them all at me. This is how we are. This is who we are as people. And it's only when we are surrendered lives in healthy relationships with Christ that we're not selfish, where we're not thinking about what's best for me or what I want. But we're saying, Lord, I've got, 50 or 100 years down here? How can you use me in an extraordinary way? Would you please take me like soft clay and use me? Because at the end of the day, my pile of stuff, it's going to be left here. You know, they say at the funeral, how much did he leave? He left all of it. Last week, we looked at the question of what difference is your life going to make? Not just in your little circle here, but in eternity. We give thanks for the opportunity to be used of God. This week, what I pray is that you'll see that worship and faith and thanks all come together. That's the conduit of grace. When we truly worship God with a true faith in the one true God, giving thanks in all circumstance, grace travels that highway. I want to share with you some verses this week, and I pray that, again, you've got your pen, and that you'll follow with me in your Bible or write them down. Because at the end of the day, when you say, boy, that's a really lopsided set of expectations of thanks for my life's not that easy. I want you to remember that this was not me speaking to you, but God and his word. Listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. My brother Charlie texted this to me yesterday morning, which was yet another confirmation that God is with us. Devote yourselves to prayer. Okay, so right up front, we know. Devote ourselves. Not pray every once in a while. Not do it at the religious functions. Devote yourselves. That's a 24/7 call. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So you're to pray constantly and constantly be in a spirit of thanksgiving. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I've had a rough day. Doesn't matter. Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I've got this infliction. It doesn't matter. Because what you're looking at is the here and now and getting caught up in the temporal, and you forget the fact that if you're a child of God, you've got a billion years just to get started in heaven. And after we've spent a billion years in heaven, we're not going to have one less day more in heaven than when we started. When you get that perspective, it's very easy to put thanks where it belongs. But listen, just in case you think that this is out of context, Paul continues on. He says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. I'm going to come back to that in a second. So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, so that we can bring the truth of God to a people that desperately need it. And here's Paul's thing, for which I have also been imprisoned. Paul's telling us to be thankful all the time, acknowledging that he's doing this having been imprisoned for this same reason. So if you think, well, you don't understand, I can assure you, God understood. Now, let me take you back to this one part, that God will open up the door for us, that we would bring his word. I want to encourage you to get ready for a little bit of difficult teaching for you. See, in Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, God's word says something that most of us are not going to really like, but I want to share it with you because it's God's word. Jesus speaking here says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Or would he not rather say to the servant, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would you thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. God's word says we get please and thank you mixed up. When we serve him, way too often we come looking for pats on the back. We lose sight of the fact that, hey, I'm the servant. He's the king. I'm blessed to serve him. I need to be saying thank you for the opportunity to serve. Instead, we tend to look for him to pat us on the back. We look for the accolades. The Pharisees looked for everybody else's attention. They went, wow, you're really religious. Wow, you're really spiritual. We saw last week that we can say thank you sometimes like a Pharisee and it'll be a phony thanks. And Jesus made it clear, there will not be blessing in that thanks because it didn't come from your heart. Let it come from your heart. Let the relationship be built on praise and worship and thanksgiving, regardless of your circumstance. I'll be there. I will bless that, and you and I will walk together. Yesterday, we lived out some of that as a people. You saw during Share the Love what happened when we brought worship outside the church to Rita's. I want to share with you now what else happened yesterday morning. As 98 Turkey Bridges to Jesus were shared in our community. A span of about 65 miles where they went. And I want you to pay attention to something very, very closely. I want you to see the joy evident in the servants. The thank you goes to God for giving us the opportunity to be used. Watch how some of God's people, you, were used of God yesterday. And note the joy in giving thanks for being servants of God.
big cup. I said, thank you, thank you. What if I looked at the day and the hours ahead, and before I moved forward, I bowed my head and said, thank you. Oh, I said, thank you. What if I looked at my life in a different way, took a little more time to stop and pray? I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go. Everything that I had, I could smile and somehow still be glad and say thank you, thank you. 'Cause life is joy, life is pain, but the prayer on my heart will never change. I say thank you, oh I say thank you. Oh, what if I looked at my life in a different way, took a little more time to stop and pray? I know it would change all the moments in between. So here I go.
We were being the church. We were saying thank you to our God by loving Him through loving others and serving the world. We have an opportunity to say thanks. We have a call to say thanks. We have a command in God's word to be people of thanksgiving no matter what. Listen to what He says to us here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. Rejoice always. That's the whole verse. Rejoice always. End of sentence. Next question. Pray without ceasing. Whole verse. End of sentence. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I understand. I understand personally. I understand as a father. I understand as a husband. I understand as a son. I understand as a friend. I understand as a brother. And I promise you, I understand as your pastor. But let me repeat, in the midst of my understanding and my genuine empathy, what God's word says. Give thanks in everything. That's a non-negotiable. You say, well then, Pastor Jeff, you're going to help me with that. Praise God, that's my call. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here, if you're a Christian, because somebody sitting next to you needs help with that. because somebody next door in the neighborhood needs help with that. Because somebody in the cubicle next to you needs help with that. That's our call. That's our purpose for being. We can help. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now he puts a little hook here in verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. What he's saying is if you choose the other way, you choose, and get this, you don't have to throw a pity party for yourself. All you have to do is choose not to give thanks. You can say, well, I'm going to sit neutral. Well, you're disobeying because you're told to give thanks in everything. Now, let you in on a little secret. There isn't a single one of us here in our flesh and in our willpower that can do that. It's impossible. Let me give you the good news. In Christ, all things are possible. And even in the midst of what appear to be the most horrific storms and challenges, there's peace to be had as a gift of God. There's joy to be had as a gift of God. And there is thanksgiving to be lifted up as a gift from God. We lose sight of that. I want to cover with you this morning three things about thanksgiving and prayer. That each one of us, no matter who you are, what your circumstance, maybe you were beat as a kid. Maybe you were maligned and mistreated as an adult. Maybe you've come through horrific forms of abuse. I want you to know, past, present, and future, you have reason to give thanks. I don't care who you are. You have reason to give thanks based on your past, based on your present, and based on your future. And I tell you that not as one who's a life coach trying to pump you up with optimism. I tell you this standing on the Word of God. Let me share with you first and foremost what God's Word says regarding your past. Romans 6, 17 and 18 tell us, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you were a slave of sin. Now, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are still a slave to sin. I don't care how good you feel. We are all there. That's where we start. Paul tells us, speaking to the Romans, that we have thanks because in the past, we were slaves to sin. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. He says you changed from being a slave to sin when you gave your heart to Christ, when you committed not a knowledge of the truth, but a commitment, a trust, a saving faith in the truth of God's word. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Those of us that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior know what it is to have a very ugly before picture. And praise God, a beautiful portrait of forever that represents my forever, that we don't get any credit for. It's a gift we received. We have somebody here in our midst that I spent some time with this week. Her name's Brenda. Her daughter's Tiffany. And I was inspired to see a couple of people who don't have a long history of walking with the Lord, but they have a passionate walk and they understand who they were and who they are. And in the midst of a life that many would say has very little to be thankful for, they are living out a walk of praise, thanking God, as you'll hear, for every day. They get it. And I want you to get it through them, because this is not my version of Christianity. This is God's word, and I want you to see it lived out in the context of real life in a way that's very challenging but passionate. Watch Brenda's and Tiffany's story.
Hi, I'm Brenda Riley.
And I'm Tiffany Riley.
We started going to the Bridge about 8-9 months ago. And we have had such a wonderful changing experience since we've started attending My daughter was born with cystic fibrosis, and she's pretty much been through quite a bit. I was also looking for something to fill the void in my heart. Then my daughter was hospitalized again, and her boss at the time came up to the hospital to see Tiffany. And Tiffany had been coming home telling me about the bridge that we needed to go, that her boss, Joe, said that she should go. So he happened to stop by the hospital to see Tiffany, and I just asked, you know, I don't know why that time or at that time, but I asked him about the church, and Joe said that I should come. And so Tiffany and I attended, and from that point on, I feel like there's been a change in me.
Just after the first day, you just get like a fresher breath air.
Yeah.
After we left, we just like, it was like a relieved feeling, like we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. And one day Tiffany said to me, "Wow, Mom, I really see that you're changing. I want to be just like you." And I don't know what it is. It's just a beautiful feeling. I don't feel like I need a whole lot of anything but Jesus Christ. I was baptized, and I feel so good. I know that regardless of what happens, I'm going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. It's just so deep. I've seen so many changes in my life, in my daughter's life. It's been absolutely wonderful. It's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when you come to Christ and you know with your loved ones, my biggest fear is, you know, my daughter's health and not spending a whole lot of time on earth with her. But I still worry, but I know that I'm going to have eternal life with her. I'm going to be with her forever and ever. And what a comfortable feeling that is. It's more than a comfortable, it's an amazing feeling. Thank God. I thank God for every day. I thank God for the blessing that he has given me. And that's my daughter and so much more. There's hope.
And have faith.
Yeah, absolutely. There's hope.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. And when you have Jesus Christ in your life, I think that's, you know, you have to have him in your heart.
And if you believe, everything will be okay.
And it will. And it definitely will if you take the steps that you need to take to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. And it's a phenomenal experience. It's a phenomenal feeling.
Love.
Feeling love. It's so hard to explain. It's just something that has happened to me. When I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, things just started happening. It's hard to explain, but life is so much better today than it was a year ago.
When it's in your heart, it's like your own personal connection with him, and you can talk to him whenever you want and say hi.
Pray.
Yeah, pray.
Yeah. The Jesus that you just look up at on the wall, he's just there. He's not really your Jesus. He's not really in your heart. He's just there.
You look at him.
Right. He's just a
figure. But you don't
figure.
You feel him. When he's in your heart, you feel him.
And just let him in your heart. You will see the changes. Quit fighting it. Especially to one of my family members. I think that if he were to accept Jesus and stop questioning so much and just accept him, he will find and see and feel the changes like I have felt. If they could just put their issues aside and just accept Jesus in their life, and quit fighting it. Since this journey of accepting Jesus in my life, the changes, the beautiful changes, how I feel inside, I want that for
family,
for the people, you know, that we love
and care about,
and even people that are going through a tough time. If you can just let down the bitterness, the fighting, the arguing, just put all that aside and accept Jesus Christ in your life, then your life would be better as well. We just want everyone's life to be as wonderful as ours with just accepting Jesus. It's as easy as accepting Jesus in your heart. And the changes will start happening. I can't tell. I thought that I would have to go through different things for Jesus to love me or for Jesus to accept me. All I had to do was accept Jesus in my life, and the changes just start happening. So many wonderful things have happened. So I just want the people that don't know how to accept Jesus or have questions about accepting Jesus, or the ones that are always in control of their own life and want to control their own life, they need to let go and let Jesus
take the lead.
Take the lead. That is exactly right. Have Jesus take the lead. That was perfect, Tiff.
If I had one message to send to my loved ones, I love them and I want them to come to heaven with me and have eternal life with Jesus. Okay. To all the people that think they're going to heaven, you can't just pray. You have to have a relationship in your heart with Jesus, and you can't just go to church and look at him on the wall, because that doesn't do anything. You can't just read out of sing songs if you don't mean it. It has to be in your heart and soul, and you have to have that loving relationship. It's just a whole new outlook on life, and Jesus put that in my heart. I want that for everyone that I love and everyone that needs it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's real life lived out. Thanks. Did you hear some of that? We just wish that everybody could have a life as wonderful as ours. I almost edited that out because it sounds pompous, but it's not. That's a mother and daughter who are living with cystic fibrosis, who are looking for a double lung transplant, and a mother who has made it very clear that her greatest concern is how much time she's going to get to spend on earth with her daughter. Tiffany told you with faith there's a light at the end of the tunnel. That light is not necessarily two new lungs. That light is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That light is Jesus Christ. Her joy is not coming from some place of a optimism that says, well, I'm going to be happy because I know that the medical side of things is going to work out. Her joy comes out of her personal, vibrant, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And she is laid down, as has Brenda, their will, their wants, and their way. And they are now daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is tremendous joy to be found there. And there is tremendous thanks to be lived out. That's what happens when you go from being a slave to sin to a slave of righteousness. When you go from being earmarked for hell to having a guaranteed reservation in heaven forever with Jesus. That's the past. Let me tell you about the present. God's word says this in Philippians 4, 5, 6, and 7. The Lord is near. Hear that. If that doesn't give you a reason for thanks, the Lord is near. If you are a child of God, He is near all the time. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. You have nothing to worry about. Again, if I'm looking at a timeline of 15 minutes or 15 years, sure, all hell's going to break out. I know that. It's a war every day, every single day. And if I win this battle and the war seems to be over, it's not over. The enemy's going to bring something else. But I know this, the war is won. And for that reason, I am anxious for nothing. I know, as Tiffany said, I know where I'm going. This is a done deal. I need not be anxious for anything. Now, I have to be earnest in everything, but anxious for nothing. Because, you see, we've got the script. I've read the book. I know how it ends. There's nothing to worry about if you're a child of God. He says, in everything, by prayer, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if I pray in all situations with thanksgiving, with a genuine gratitude of the heart, I'm promised peace. It's there. As a child of God, it's here. Now, sometimes we get separated from it because we lose our mooring. We get focused on what's in front of us instead of what's above us. We get caught up in the here and now instead of the forever. Our priorities get grabbed by the world. And they're lost from that place of worship and thanksgiving. God's word tells us, if you will lift me up in worship and thanksgiving, recognizing who you are in me, I will give you peace, joy, happiness in every situation. You say, Pastor Jeff, again, you don't understand. Well, let me take you to this week's prayer that is one of my favorite. You've often heard me refer to it because I think it is so relevant to our days. If you go to Acts chapter 16, you will see where Paul and his young associate Silas have been out preaching the word of God, truth tellers, in an unpopular place where truth was not welcomed, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are imprisoned and locked up because of it. As you go through Acts 16, you see that they have been publicly flogged, severely beaten. What that means is they were beaten to within inches of their lives. They were literally tortured in the public square. And in those days, they used the things that would whip and literally tear your flesh apart. And they're brought into the jail in Philippi. And it's about midnight. And God's word says that they were praying and singing hymns of praise to the Lord. I can't tell you what the words were of their prayer. It's not important. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. Where? From the jail cell. From the dungeon. Where they were given special guards to watch them, and they were beaten to within an inch of their lives. And at midnight, it says, God's word says, they were praying and singing praises to the Lord. Now, let me ask you, and I've had personal infliction in my life. I've had children that we feared for their lives. Okay? So I'm not talking from some ivory tower. I'm telling you from experience, I know this to be true. That if we come to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, trusting Him in everything, He will deliver peace. You can have joy in the midst of the hurricane. It's a matter of perception. In your here and now, no matter your here and now, you have reason to give thanks. And that's not obligatory. That's relational. It's not that, well, it says here that I have to, so I will. It's thank you, Lord. Wow. If only people knew you could be in this kind of a storm and still have peace. I still hear your voice. It's true. The enemy cannot hurt me. Wow. That's a reason to give thanks in your here and now. But you've got to surrender. You've got to surrender and give the Lord the reins to have this peace. What about our future? Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. because it's important that each one of us know that this is not just a short-term venture. You know, when we die, you don't become worm food. The game is not over at death. We're just getting started. The question is, where are you going for the long haul? If you're a child of God, you have reason to give thanks for your future. Listen to what God's word says. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I've underlined this part. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what, your future is covered. You are guaranteed eternal life with Christ if you embrace Him as Lord and Savior. And if you do, my friends, you have the epitome of reason to give thanks and to live in this place of joyful thanks. This week, in addition to spending some time with Brenda and Tiffany in their kitchen, we spent some time in another part of their house, and I want to show it to you. I want to show you somebody who is giving thanks for a recognized future in Christ, no matter what. Cystic fibrosis is real. And physically speaking, things don't look good for Tiffany. Spiritually speaking, she's on her way to the Hall of Fame. I pray it's 100 years from now with everybody else. But spiritually speaking, she's in better shape than most people I know. You see, our community is probably 90 to 95% separated from Christ. Here's a young lady with cystic fibrosis in need of two lungs, who's got a peace and a joy in the midst of the storm, because she knows who she is. She knows whose she is. And she knows her future is secure in Christ. Watch as our sister celebrates.
Okay. All right, ready?
Ready.
All right. Hi, my name's Tiffany, and we are in my house, and I'm about to get baptized because I love Jesus. It's pretty awesome. Well, I have cystic fibrosis, and I've been through a lot, and Jesus has helped me throughout the way. My life before Jesus was, I was not as calm, and just not very good things would go through my head. And now I'll just like take a person's hand and pray with them and bless them. And before I was just all scared, but now it doesn't even matter because I'm going to heaven no matter what. So that's that. Amen. This is my bathroom, everyone.
Well, hang on. Are you able to get to where you can go under, Tip? All right, excellent.
Tell me if I need to move out the way or something.
No. All right.
Okay, back and go some more. Okay.
All right.
Okay, Tiffany. Okay. Why are you doing this, honey?
Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Hey, Mom. Mom, can you look up at me? How's this feeling right now?
It feels wonderful.
Amen.
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 Tiffany, there you go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Want to give a hug, Mom?
Now, it doesn't even matter because I'm going to heaven no matter what. So that's that. Amen.
Amen.
What a joy when you know that you know that you know you have reason to give thanks, not just because of who you were, not just because of who you are, but for who you will forever be in Christ. Some of you may not be familiar with your Bible to the point of having read the end. When we talk about the future, I want to take you to the book of Revelation. I want to take you to chapter 22, and I want to read to you verse 12, verse 13, verse 16, verse 20, and 21. Include, these are the last two verses of the Bible. Do you want to know why you have reason to give thanks for your future if you are a child of God? Listen, Jesus speaking. Every word I'm now going to share is out of your Bible from the mouth of Jesus the Christ. The very end of the Bible. This is how the story ends. Behold, I am coming soon! Exclamation mark. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. He who testifies to these things, Jesus says, yes, I am coming soon. John then says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. Let it be. If you will give your heart to Christ, you have reason to give thanks, not just in the here and now or yesterday, but for your future. I share this with you because as a people, as I told you at the beginning, not just locally, but as a people in the aggregate, we miss this. We come running to Jesus, asking our requests. And then like the lepers, the nine lepers who have been given God's blessing, we walk away. We forget to come back and say thanks. You read Luke 17, the account of the 10 lepers. You read it carefully. We've done this in the church. You'll see. Jesus says to the 10, go and show yourselves. Nine go run away and don't come back to thanks. The one that does come back. Jesus said, did I not cleanse all 10 of you? And yet you, when you saw that I healed you, you, the one that I saw through your faith that you were truly healed, you came back to give thanks. The other nine who had a surface appreciation, it was about them. They went away cleaned, but not healed. Jesus tells the 10th who did come back, who had a genuine heart of gratitude, you've been made well. The Greek word there is what is used throughout the New Testament to show that you have been saved. Your genuine heart of thanksgiving, worship plus faith plus thanksgiving is the conduit of grace. It's not only what we're to embrace, it's how we're to live. I want to share with you an account of two teenage Asian girls. In an Asian country where you're not allowed to worship the Lord freely, who did anyway, whose attitude of gratitude was so pure that no matter what, they were going to live a life of thanks. This is recounted in the book Jesus Freaks. I want to share it with you. These two Christian girls, these two teenage girls, I thought of Tiffany as I read this. These two Christian girls waited in the prison yard for the announced execution. They will be executed because they will not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The two Christian girls waited in the prison yard for the announced execution. A fellow prisoner who watched from his prison cell described their faces as pale, but beautiful beyond belief, infinitely sad, but sweet. Humanly speaking, they were fearful. But the two girls had decided to submit to death without renouncing their faith. Flanked by a renegade guard, the executioner came with a revolver in his hands. They couldn't believe it. The executioner was their own pastor. The executioner was their own pastor. He too had been sentenced to die with the two girls. But, as on many other occasions in church history, here again the persecutors worked on him, tempting him and offering him his freedom if he would murder the other Christians. His holders promised to release him if he would shoot the girls with the revolver. He accepted. The girls whispered to each other, then bowed respectfully before their pastor. I want you to hear this. Here's that spirit of thanksgiving. You're not going to believe it. The girls whispered to each other, then bowed respectfully before their pastor. One of them said, "This is living with a heart of thanksgiving. Before you shoot us, we wish to thank you heartily for what you have meant to us. You baptized us. You taught us the ways of eternal life. You gave us Holy Communion with the same hand in which you now hold the gun. You also taught us that Christians are sometimes weak and commit terrible sins, but they can be forgiven again. When you regret what you are about to do to us, do not despair like Judas, but repent like Peter. God bless you, and remember that our last thought was not one of indignation against your failures. Everyone passes through hours of darkness. May God reward you for all the good you have done to us. We die with gratitude." The story goes on to say that he then shot them. They died. And not long later, his holders murdered him as well. Those two girls lived with an eternal perspective, recognizing what is eternal and what is not, giving thanks not only to their God, but to those people, even those that now appear to hurt them, that God had used to bless them. I have never seen a purer sense of Christ-like thanks, Christ-like thankfulness. I've seen a lot of courage. You know me well. I bring to you those inspirational people of courage. I was so humbled to hear that spirit of thanksgiving. That's who we're called to be. In our prayers, in our walk, in our understanding that we have reason to give thanks, past, present, and most of all, praise God for the future with Him, no matter what. If that's not your promise, don't leave here today empty-hearted. And that's what you are if you don't have that promise. Don't leave here without it. Would you pray with me? Lord, I could use some cotton candy. Thank you so much for your word and that your truth is sweet in and of itself. Lord, I know that you're building us up for a reason. And I recognize that you are challenging us constantly to grow. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the storms that you use to help me to grow. I thank you that you will do whatever it takes to bring me home. And that you continue to love me and build me up that I may be used of you. Lord, let my pleases come to you in request for service. And let my thank yous come when I've been able to be poured out. When we say to people, "No, really, it was my blessing." That is so true. I pray that those words will go through the ears and penetrate the heart. and that we as your people will say thank you in all circumstances, and that we'll come to you as people of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.